You're with SBS Radio.
Shalom, Australia. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced yesterday that Australia now recognises West Jerusalem as the seat of the Knesset and many of the institutions of government is the capital of Israel. He said the decision respects both a commitment to a two-state solution and long-standing respect for relevant UN Security Council resolutions. Israel's foreign ministry called Canberra's decision to open a defence and trade office in Jerusalem a step in the right direction. The embassy shift from Tel Aviv will not occur until a peace settlement is achieved, taking into account both financial and security considerations. Knesset Speaker Yuli Edelstein said he was disappointed that Australia distinguished between East and West Jerusalem. Yuval Rotem, Director General of the Foreign Ministry and a former Israeli ambassador to Canberra, issued a warmer response, tweeting, "I welcome Australia's announcement recognising Jerusalem as Israel's capital, reflecting the Jewish people's historical bond to Jerusalem and a practical approach to the future of the peace process in our region." Saeb Erekat, head of the Palestinian Liberation Organization's Executive Committee, called the move irresponsible and said the decision was one wherein petty domestic politics steer irresponsible policies that contradict world peace and security. On Sunday, a Palestinian opened fire from a passing vehicle on a group of Israelis standing at a bus stop at the Givat Asaf outpost near the Ofra settlement. Seven people were injured, including a 21-year-old newlywed pregnant woman whose baby died after being delivered prematurely. Rabbi Yoram Sabak said his daughter, Shira, 20, watched the Palestinian attacker gun down the two soldiers from close range while praying for the ordeal to be over. Her condition, at first life-threatening, has now improved. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau on Thursday called the shooting of Shira Ishran and the killing of her baby as heinous terrorist violence. Her husband, Amichai, who is a Canadian citizen, was also injured in the attack. The young couple buried their baby, who lived only 4 days. Unusually, in the Orthodox world, the child was named Amiyad Yisrael. On Thursday, Sergeant Yosef Cohen, 19, was shot to death, along with Staff Sergeant Yovel Moyasef, when a Palestinian gunman opened fire at a bus stop where they were guarding outside the Ofra settlement. Another soldier and a civilian were also wounded in the attack, the soldier seriously. Cohen was a member of the Netzach Yehuda Battalion, which was formed in 1999 to allow Haredi youth to serve in the army. On Friday, thousands attended the funerals of the slain soldiers, both of whom were considered heroes. Hours later, a Palestinian man stabbed an Israeli soldier and bashed his head with a rock, seriously injuring him, at a military post outside the Bet El settlement. The assailant then fled the scene. The injured soldier is still in a serious condition. A Palestinian man may have attempted to ram his car into a group of Israeli soldiers outside the West Bank city of Ramallah on Thursday afternoon before the troops opened fire, killing him in the third attack of the day, although it is not certain that this was an act of terrorism. The IDF says it believes a Hamas cell conducted Sunday's attack in Ofra, for which they claimed responsibility, and that the group may also have committed the shooting in nearby Givat Asaf, although they have not yet claimed responsibility for that. On Thursday night, the IDF arrested 40 Hamas members in the West Bank as the army intensified a crackdown in response to the pair of deadly shootings. Amid the tense manhunt, Israeli forces encircled Ramallah to prevent what it called copycat attacks. The army set up checkpoints, searched cars and blocked roads in an unusual show of force that reflected the severity with which Israelis view the shootings. Groups of settler youth have responded to the violence, hurling stones at Palestinian vehicles throughout the West Bank, shooting bullets at homes in the villages of Ein Yabrud and Betin, and assaulting a Palestinian bus driver. Nidal Fakih from the Shuafat refugee camp in East Jerusalem was assaulted when he was dropping off passengers in the Modi'in elite settlement. Around 1,000 right-wing Israelis demonstrated outside Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's residence in Jerusalem Thursday evening, with protesters calling for his resignation over the government's response to the string of recent terror attacks. Settlers, under the cover of darkness on Thursday night, installed a pair of mobile homes on the hilltop where the illegal Amona outpost once stood in the central West Bank, claiming to have purchased the land from nearby Palestinians. Attorney General Avichai Mandelblit on Thursday officially approved the use of a legal tactic that will allow for the de facto legalization of about 2,000 illegally built Israeli homes throughout the West Bank. Prime Minister Netanyahu also asked the Attorney General to take legal measures enabling the building of 82 housing units in the West Bank settlement of Ofra, the site of Sunday's shooting attack. Two Israeli industrial zones are also to be established in the West Bank near the settlements of Avnei Chefetz and Beitar Elite. Palestinian Authority police cracked down on a Hamas protest in Hebron on Friday, beating demonstrators with batons and throwing stun grenades. Some 50 Hamas activists confronted Palestinian forces after Muslim prayers on Friday as Hamas marked the 31st anniversary of its establishment. In Nablus, protesters from other Palestinian factions clashed with Hamas demonstrators after they raised the group's flag during a demonstration. Israeli security forces killed Ashraf Na'alwa at a house in the Askar refugee camp in Nablus early on Thursday, 2 months after he murdered two Israelis, Kim Levengrond Yecheskel, 28, and Ziv Hagbi, 35, in a shooting attack at the Barkan industrial area in the West Bank. Na'alwa had been on the run since the attack, and there were fears that he was planning further murderous attacks. The United States imposed sanctions on Friday on a retired Israeli major general for allegedly supplying weapons and ammunition to both the government and the opposition in South Sudan. The Treasury Department said Israel Ziv, a retired IDF major general and owner of security consulting group Global CST, used an agricultural company as a cover for the sale of approximately $150 million worth of weapons to the government, including rifles, grenade launchers, and shoulder-fired rockets. Israel's Alexei Bichenko skated into the record books on Friday night with an 11th place finish in Pyeongchang. Bichenko said on his way to South Korea, "It is an honor to compete for Israel. I'm really proud of that." Earlier in the week, he posted a second place result in the men's single short program as part of the team event. In his first Olympic performance, Daniel Samochin finished in 13th place. Israel has never had two skaters in the top 15 in the men's individual event. Israel finished the team event in 8th place. Noach Klieger, who survived Auschwitz, died on Thursday. He was 92. As a prisoner in Auschwitz, Klieger was selected for the gas chambers, but managed to talk himself out of the sentence in a personal encounter with a Nazi doctor, Josef Mengele. Later, he faked his way onto the boxing squad at Auschwitz that enjoyed better meal rations. After liberation, he arrived in pre-state Israel aboard the ship Exodus and fought in the 1948 War of Independence. Klieger went on to author several books and wrote a long-time column in the daily Yediot Achronot. He continued to work as a journalist until the end of his life. He was one of the most prominent spokespersons for Holocaust survivors in Israeli public life. This is Peter Jones-Pelach, reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
Enjoy more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.